we're going to open the Senate Education Committee, March 7th, 2017. And we're going to start with some work from before. So you're going to have a hearing pretty soon about bills that you're interested in. And then that gives them, we give them a few days to think about it to see if they like them or not. And then they come back to be heard and to be voted on the next time. So bills we heard last week, we're going to now take time to vote on whether we're going to send them on to their next place in the Capitol. So right now, I would entertain a motion from...
You've got to open a work
session. I have to open a work session on Senate Bill 653.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 653 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Hass moves Senate Bill 653 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be sent to Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any conversation or discussion? Is there any opposition? It's off on its way. We're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 653. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 2257. House Bill 2257. And Senator Hass.
Senator Roblin, I move House Bill 2257 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Hass moves Senate Bill 2257, House Bill 2257 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? This is about open source materials. Okay, with that, is there any opposition? No, it passes, and in each case, notice that Senator Lithicum is excused. And we'll close the work session on House Bill.
Need a carrier.
Oh, that's right. Who would anybody want to carry the bill? Otherwise, I will do it. I'll be glad to carry it. So, with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 2257, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 203. Senator Hass.
Senator Roblin, I move that Senate Bill 203 go to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Hass moves Senate Bill 203 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, yeah. I just say that there was some confusion on the committee about why we were doing this. The explanation was very clear, and it's very necessary.
It is a difficult bill to read and understand what it's supposed to do, and I still have had that same feeling at different times. But with that, any opposition to this bill moving to the floor? Seeing none. It passes, and is there anyone that wants to carry? I'll carry this bill. It's Coosa County part of it. So, with that, we'll close our work session on Senate Bill 203. Would you like to vote on any of those bills, or would you mind being excused? If you'd like to, we can open and let you vote if you would like.
Yes, I wouldn't mind being on the record for those. My apologies for being late. There was a virtual school demonstration, and I was in that room, and it's farther from here than you think.
Actually, if it was virtual, you could have done it anywhere.
Well, yeah. I guess that's the problem is virtually I thought I was where I was.
Okay. So with that, how do we go about doing that? I have to open it. Don't I have to ask to suspend the rules? Yes.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask.
Mr. Chair, you can ask to suspend the rules to allow.
Thank you.
Allow the senator to vote on all three bills, with one rule suspension,
okay.
And then just take his
one
vote on
time.
The bills.
So I will entertain that motion.
So moved.
Okay. So Senator. Senator
you
Cruz
want me to
moves.
Restate it?
Senator Cruz moves that rules be suspended to allow Senator Lithicum to vote on Senate Bill 653, House Bill 2257, and Senate Bill 203. Is there any objection to that motion? Seeing none, so moved. Now we will open a work session.
You're open. All you got to do is report his vote.
Senator Lithicum, how do you vote on Senate Bill 653?
I'll vote negative against 653. I think the testimony that we heard from Umpqua Community College highlighted the way those monies were going to be spent, and the problems aren't fully addressed within the legislation that's in front of us. So I will vote in the negative on that.
Senate Bill 20, House Bill 2257.
Positive.
Okay. And Senate Bill 203.
Positive.
Okay. So with that, we will record those votes, and we will close the work session on Senate Bill 2653, House Bill 2257, and Senate Bill 203. Okay. Just so everybody has an understanding of what's going on there, there's a opportunity for people to change their vote or do their vote if there is a unanimous decision of the members to reopen the bill. So you have to first ask everybody else if they're willing to let him do it, and then if that's approved, then he gets to make his votes. So that's just another one of the fun things to learn about how this process works. So with that, and I see that our good senator made it to, where did you go now? Oh, there you are. Okay, thank you. And we appreciate you getting here quickly, so thank you very much. Yeah. So we're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bills 208 and 536. We'll hear a short explanation. You can do one or the other. I don't care which one you give an explanation. They're both the same bill, basically. So we're going to open that public hearing. We'll have a short explanation by our administrator, and we can have our legislators and representatives that would like to speak to this come on up. And I'm going to stay here, even though I'm probably one of these bills, too.
Senator Rublin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 208 and Senate Bill 536 require schools, districts, and associations to allow charter school and virtual charter school students to participate in interscholastic athletics. They require school districts to allow homeschool, charter school, and virtual charter school students to participate in all interscholastic activities if the students meet all district eligibility requirements except for attendance and class requirements. The bills require students either to score at or above the 23rd percentile annually on an examination from the list adopted by the State Board of Education under state law relating to homeschooling, or to meet alternative requirements adopted by a school district in consultation with the student's parents. The bills require that students live within the attendance boundaries of the school at which they participate in interscholastic activities, and that students comply with the same standards of behavior and responsibilities as other participants. The bills require ineligible homeschooled charter school or virtual charter school students to remain ineligible for an entire school year.
Okay, with that.
Mr. Chair, I just want to say I think I will, even though there's a Grants Pass caveman testifying here, I may look favorably be upon the bills. So,
with that,
thank you.
Whoever wants to go first.
Okay.
Ladies first.
We'll go with that. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I am Kim Thatcher. I represent Senate District 13. And I am so appreciative of the chair for giving this bill a hearing, and I think signing on to it as well. It's very much appreciated. I'm sure you've heard from constituents, like I have, and probably all of us, from parents and students that some brick and mortar students have denied or made it difficult for charter school children to participate in sports or other, you know, interscholastic activities. And the goal of this bill was to give students the opportunity, no matter what academic course they may choose and are participating in, to be able to participate in these other activities at the schools in their district. And the bill also aims to give school districts guidance in admitting students that want to participate in interscholastic activities. Now, as the bill is written now, and I understand there was an amendment in the works, but there was a slight tweak, and so therefore it wasn't submitted to committee staff, but it's not up for a work session today anyway, so that they're just going to streamline it so that a student only has to meet the requirements of the school district, not an either-or thing. And they would also, after working with stakeholders in the charter schools as well as the Oregon Student, I have to look up what this means, OSAA, Oregon Student Activities Association, as well as the Confederated Oregon School Administrators, that they're proposing an amendment that would make some still further adjustments, little minor things, I think. We want to make it clear that the bill is about participation eligibility for public charter students, and that they will match resident requirements and live in the district and all that, and meet the requirements of any other student to participate in whatever activity that it is that they want to participate in. We would also look to remove the word virtual and just talk about charter schools in general. We wanted to clarify how charter schools will reimburse the school district for a student's participation in these activities, and they go into a little more detail, and there are people here that will speak to that and give you their experiences, and I just so appreciate you taking the time today to hear this bill.
Thank you. Mr. Post.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Carl Wilson, House District 3, that's Grants Pass, home of the cavemen.
Yes, I know.
It's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you. This bill brings to light a growing concern about accessibility to interscholastic athletics for young folks in charter schools.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Representative Bush, you want to come up to the table? You're certainly welcome. Okay. Continue.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I might add that being a member of the lower chamber, I was mightily impressed with your use of the gavel here. It was a great clinic, so thank you again for that.
We do appreciate that. Thank you.
You bet. Over the years, many studies have shown the value of interscholastic athletics on kids keeping their interest in school and keeping them in school. I fondly recall valuable life lessons as my time as a varsity athlete on the same field with that gentleman, Senator Cruz. The notions of camaraderie hang heavy in my life still, and I think of the sense of duty and betterment that you enjoy as a varsity athlete being able to play high school sports. I also remember the fun of the long bus rides home from Coos Bay after defeating Marshfield yet once again.
Oh, yes. That's a rare event. It must have been a rare event, yes.
Maybe I strike that. Can we strike that?
Yes, you can strike.
You wanted this to pass.
Well, anyway, I want to thank you for considering this. It is a great sense of equity, I think. It brings a great sense of equity that charter school students would be able to take part in the athletics that the brick-and-mortar students do. I think it makes sense. We know homeschoolers can already do this, and in that these students are already quote-unquote paid members of the school district, I think it is a great sign of equity to allow them to take part. So I appreciate you listening to our concerns today and hope you'll favorably consider these bill concepts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Roblin, and members of the committee. Thank you for having me here. I'm Pam Marsh, a representative from House District 5, way at the other end of the state. And I'm here today to convey to you testimony from the Medford School District. They are concerned about this issue but unable to travel over the passes to get here today themselves. And I would just read this into the record, if I may.
Sure.
Good afternoon, Senators. SB 208, as drafted, is an unfunded mandate which would require school districts to cover the costs of all extracurricular activities, including but not limited to band, theater, and athletics, for students who elect to attend public charter schools, including students of virtual charter schools. Access to extracurricular activities has been proven to boost attendance, connect kids to their school community, and keep them on track to graduate. These strategies are particularly helpful in closing the achievement gap amongst students who are economically disadvantaged. For these reasons, Medford School District has deliberately invested in strategies to boost participation in extracurricular activities, from initiating running clubs and cross-country track meets in elementary schools to investing $500,000 in musical instruments. These investments are paying off with increased attendance in our schools and increased numbers of freshmen on track to graduate. We are already at capacity in many of our athletic programs, including cross-country and swimming at the secondary level. If this bill is implemented, we will have to turn students away from these and other activities. We ask that you amend SB 208 to simply include the language as space and materials permit. This is the language currently found in our charter agreements and allows the school district to continue to allow charter students to participate as long as there's room in the program. We believe that continued flexibility is in the best interests of all students. And that's signed by Dr. Brian Shoemate, who is superintendent of the Medford School District, and Karen Starkovic, who is board chair for Medford. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I have copies, which I'll leave for you.
Perfect. Thanks. Any questions for any of these people?
Just a comment. I believe there's an amendment that's going to take care of the funding aspect of this thing. So that's taken care of. And I would also, I find it interesting that a cross-country team couldn't have more members. Give me a break. They're just running. Okay, so I find that somewhat dubious.
Yep. Thank you, Chair. If I could just respond. I think that there are some programs that probably have unlimited participation. The program that was particularly mentioned to me was swimming, in which there's a very limited capacity to fill the lanes at the local YMCA. Some effort simply requests some flexibility and acknowledging some limits in some cases.
Michelle, I just point out that the funding is going to be taken care of, and we aren't talking like 100 kids that are coming in. You know, we're talking a very small number that should be afforded the opportunity. So I hope at the end of the day, Medford will be happy with the funding aspect of it. So
I look forward to having that conversation. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Thatcher, I heard you say something to the effect of striking virtual in the language of all of these homeschooled interscholastic activities, public charter school, virtual public charter school are all included together in the definitions. I'm not sure what you alluded to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Linthicum. I was merely alluding to saying charter schools, and that would include all of them.
Okay, so virtual's included.
Correct.
Thank you. Perfect. And I think House Member Wilson identified the key factor. They're all paying customers of the school district where they're going to participate. I think that's the crux of the issue that's at point.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. So with that, it looks like a lot of people traveled a ways, and so we usually try to those first. So Joseph D. Vondolsky, Carol Zimmer, and Marty. Either way is fine. Then we'll go with just those two. Perfect.
Good afternoon, Senator Roblin, committee. My name is Joseph Vondolosky. I am the executive director of Logos Public Charter School in Southern Oregon. We are a brick and mortar charter school. I have 5 children in the public school system and a 4-year-old who really wants to be. I have the privilege of serving close to 900 public school students. From Jackson and Josephine County, we are in the Medford School District. For the last 2 years, our personalized learning school has had the highest graduation rate in the Rogue Valley. It's not in my notes, but just to respond to the previous statement, it is in our contract as space and materials exist. And what that means is there is no space or materials. All of our students are cut from all of the sports. They mentioned swimming and another, but rest assured, there is no space and materials available in any sport. I don't believe any of us can truly appreciate the intensity of all the bills being set forth during this legislative session, so I'd like to thank each of you for your time for considering these bills and inviting me to testify before you. My goal here today is simply to advocate for equity for all public school students in Oregon. I know that you all believe that there should not be discrimination in our school system. I would like for you to note that neither of these bills cost our state any more money, but still address a bad policy in education. Here is the issue. The previous testimony read, used the words, our schools. And by our schools, they meant not Logos. Logos Charter School is a district school. As part of our district, $950,000 that was earmarked for the 900 students at Logos was retained by our district. as one of her schools who not only contributed close to $1 million into her general fund, we graduated her students at a higher rate than any of her schools, provided a quality school report card with level fours in academic achievement and academic growth. At our contract renewal meeting not too long ago, I was asking them to remove the 20% and 5% retention, which amounts to close to $1 million every year, asking them to ease up on that. And their statement to me was, you need to take that up with the folks in Salem. I didn't. We just continued and renewed our contract. But this year, this year started out with disgruntled, upset parents and students who were cut from sports teams for no other reason than they belong to the charter school in the district. So as the representative for 900 district students, I speak for them when I ask you to allow them the right to participate in the same interscholastic activities afforded all the other schools in the district. Sports are a big part of the fabric of the public education system and our communities, of which public charter school students are a part. We are not asking for any more money or services from the state or our district, simply that they maintain one of the few services and opportunities to our students that all other district students are afforded. Logos students are a part of the school district. Our graduation rates and test scores are included in the district report card. They share in our successes and our struggles. We inherited the district's unfunded actuarial liability for PERS, even though we began in 2010 and the IAP for our PERS doesn't have any liability. That's a close to $3 million liability. We are a part of the school district and our students should not be treated differently. We have a good working relationship with our district, but on this matter we do not see eye to eye. As a result of our district's decision, other districts are starting to follow suit. My son is in sixth grade and effectively was just told that high school football, high school baseball, high school basketball are no longer an option for him. I am appealing to this committee to pass this bill and see that it is passed. I would welcome any questions you may have.
Will that testimony from your son, if he wants to testify, do you want to testify? Has anything you want to say? He just wanted to sit up there with Dad and be supportive. He probably needed your help.
Yes, I did.
So that was good.
Thank you.
Any questions for this witness? Okay. Thank you both. So Cheryl Zimmerman, is that who I had before?
Yes, and Roman Hernandez.
And is it Marty?
No, that's Marty.
Oh, okay.
This is Roman
That was
Hernandez.
Marty. Gotcha.
Roman?
Yeah, the boy.
Hi.
And your son's name?
This is actually one of my students. This
oh.
is Roman Hernandez. He's a Logos Public Charter School
Got
student.
It.
And he just came up here today, so I asked if he'd want to
okay.
sit up here with us.
And you're going to be supportive? You don't necessarily want to speak?
You want to talk? You do?
Okay, we'll do that later. Well, who wants to go first?
Do you want me to go first? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you to the chair and the committee for having this hearing today. My name is Cheryl Zimmer. I'm the elementary principal at Logos Public Charter School, and I'm here to ask you to pass Senate Bill 536. I'm disheartened to have to be here today to ask you to right a wrong of an extracurricular policy passed by our local district that has impacted our students negatively. In the past, even though our charter contract allowed it, our kids were not allowed to play extracurricular sports. As Joe said, space and materials are never available. Our district superintendent, Dr. Shoemate, has told some of our upset charter parents to withdraw from our school and enroll in a district school if they want to play a sport. Another district administrator had told me that this new direction was to help them maintain their competitive advantage over charter schools. Students are in the middle, being forced to choose between the school and teachers they love and the sport they enjoy. Coaches have told our students to withdraw and homeschool on their own so they can play by state law. That's a lose-lose for everyone. They don't have access to our teachers or support. The district gets no funding, nor do we. And the students have to make up credits after the season. Is that really what students have to do to stay in the school they love and still play a sport? We cannot have sports teams at Logos like some have suggested, because once we have our team, our outside the district students, who make up about 50% of our enrollment, will have and have currently no problem playing for their local district, would no longer be able to play there by OSAA rules. Sports are important to kids. They need these opportunities to play. We could have said it was our competitive advantage against our school district when our district wanted our input on how to start a college program, or when we developed some math curriculum that could help kids with testing, but we've always wanted to do what was best for kids. So we have shared our resources and collaborated with our district. Collaboration is what's best for kids. Some say it's about the money. We contribute almost $1 million to our sponsoring district each year. 20% of funding from the state goes to the district for Logos's K-8 students. So for Roman here, that's $1 out of every $5. So for us to pay more fees for a kid to play in sports is prohibitive. The funding they already receive has helped them hire more teachers, decrease class sizes, and could go a long way to hire some more coaches to let our kids try out. We're not even saying they have to play, just let them try out for the team, and then play if they can make it. However, a Medford School District board member told me that it's not even about the funding. If Oregon wants to be the premier school district in our school system in the United States, it's going to take the best from all of us. Best for some students could be a traditional school or even a charter school, but they shouldn't have to leave a charter school just to play a sport. Collaboration, partnerships, and innovation are the future of education. I stand here to humbly request that you pass SB 536 and let the kids play at their local district. It is what's best for kids.
Roman, I'm all done. Would you like to say something?
Just talk into the microphone. Say hi. Tell us your name first.
My name is Roman Alexander Hernandez.
And what grade are you in at Logos?
I'm in the first grade.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anything else you would like us to know?
I'm gonna get a little try basketball again. I did practice it a long time ago. But then I got it out of it, and now I want to do it again.
Awesome. So it'd be good if you could play for Awesome. Any questions that you have?
Any questions for either of these two? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you, Roman.
So Marty's gone. David Gray, Dan Hold, and looks like Cooper Fast, if we want to get all three of them up here. Is Cooper a student? You okay with being with these guys?
Yes.
Okay, then we're good.
You need to go first.
We'll let you wrap up, Cooper, so we'll start with these older people.
All right, I guess I'm going first here.
Okay.
So, Senator Roblin, members of the committee, thanks for hearing this bill. I'm Dr. Hold for the record, director of Baker Charter Schools, statewide virtual school with about 1,100 students all over Oregon. And I'd like to tell you the story a little bit of the vision behind this bill. It was actually at Virtual School Day last year when virtual school administrators and myself started noticing that more and more districts were saying no to our students to participate. So we came up with a vision and an idea that we would set out to fix this issue for our students. Our first go around or first attempt was to work with OSAA and change the rule, which the rule currently says that both principals have to agree for students to participate in interscholastic activities. And so that did not work out in October, so that brings us before you today with SB 536. So what we've done in this bill is we've tried to work with virtual schools, with charter schools, and with COSA, OSBA, and OSAA to come up with a set of amendments that we feel is common sense solution for everybody. Senator Cruz mentioned earlier there was discussion of funding from some of the superintendents that we collaborated with that would be hosting these activities. We came up with a 5% of the ADM are as a fee that would be appropriate to participate. That allows them to recover some of the costs for operating, hosting the program. And so that was a common sense solution that seemed to work for all. For us, what we're going for is not to create extra load or opportunities for our students, but just the ability to, as was said earlier, to try out. So we just want our students to be able to try out. If they can make it, great. But right now, to just have the door closed in their face is, it seems to us to be an equity issue. And so that's why we've worked so hard to try to create something that's common sense for our students and also for the districts that are hosting the activities. So my involvement came through LeGrand School District, where I have three students. Those three students were participating in cross country and soccer and robotics in the past. And this fall, they were all asked or told that they were no longer able to participate. As the rule in OSAA says, work it out with the principals. The principal said, no way, it's not going to happen. And so those three students, as was mentioned earlier, dropped and enrolled in homeschool. So for the season, they were unable to attend my school, and revenue was lost in that sense. And so I think this bill represents a fix for that and for the school district, and it makes sense for students and for districts.
Okay, yes. Wait till all three and then we'll ask questions.
Chair Roblin, committee members, my name is Dr. David Gray. I'm the executive director of Metro East Webb Academy. We're a virtual charter school sponsored by the Gresham-Bartow School District. We represent about 15 school districts in the East Metro area of Portland. As a former teacher, coach, principal, superintendent, to me this is really about equity. In our situation, we have about 15 school districts represented in our school. 14 of those school districts allow our kids to play. The 15th does not. These residents of these school districts are property taxpayers. They support local levies and bonds. I think with the work that Dr. Hull has done working with the different organizations, we've come up with a funding model that seems to be supported by most. And so as an educator, it seems, I just cannot imagine that we'd want to deny any kid an option or an opportunity to participate.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cooper Fast, and I'm in ORCA and Connections Academy, and my friend wanted me to join STEM Club, but I can't because I'm not enrolled in the school, and I want to do basketball in the school and other sports and stuff, and the current law now is I can't because I am not enrolled in. And
okay. Thank you with that.
Good job.
So any questions for this group? Yes, Senator Lithicum.
I'd like to make an observation. We don't see the Dash One amendment with regard to funding, and then specifically it sounds like you worked out some details. Does the funding what was the average? You said 5% of what number?
The ADMR, it's the revenue received per student.
Right, and that doesn't apply to the homeschooling part of the equation.
Correct.
It only applies to the charter school. Is that carve out managed in your Dash One amendment? And secondly, per the conversation where these families, whether it's charter school, virtual charter school, or homeschool, are taxpaying participants of the entire funding model, is it appropriate then to recharge them the 5% that you're suggesting?
Yeah, I've been asked that question a lot and looked into it as best I can. And as far as I can tell, for a student that enrolls in the charter school, the sponsor district, which in my case would be Baker, gets 100% of the funding, and then based on our charter contract, the rest of the money flows through. Dr. Gray mentioned bonds. So as far as I understand, local bonds are the only thing that stays with the student. But once they enroll in the charter school, we do receive the full funding. So from my conversation with superintendents that are hosting these activities, the charter school under our current amendment would be responsible for the 5%, because currently, in the case of LeGrand, LeGrand is not receiving anything for my student other than the local bond that was passed. Does that answer your question?
That makes sense. And how does that apply to homeschooling families?
Homeschooling families is a little bit different, as far as I understood from our conversation on Friday. For sports and activities, they can't claim any ADM for students, for homeschool students. But if there's a class that occurs in the middle of the day, such as band or choir, they are able to turn in to the state for a small portion of ADM funding. So the classroom activities that OSAA oversees can be funded, but it's the athletics that can't in the homeschool case.
And is that spelled out in your proposed amendment?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
We'll have to wait and see it.
Right.
Yep.
Any other questions? Thank you all for being here. Thanks for getting up and speaking.
Thank you.
So we have another person that's going to give us some better answers with regard to that, because they're coming up next. Marco Fisher, Richard Devlin.
Donovan,
sorry.
I was saying, huh?
I was hoping for a Devlin, but, you know, that we're talking about money, but we'll take Donovan. And Sean, is it Ferris? And Ozzie. Okay.
May I have permission to join Mr. Donovan?
That would be great.
Yeah.
We'll have the two. Yeah, that's good. Is that Sean? You can go first, Sean, and we'll have these two wrap up, because I think that pretty much is everybody. Okay.
Thank you, Senator Roblin and committee. I'm Dr. Sean Farnes. I'm currently Dean of Students at Baker Charter Schools. Where I come in from a different perspective than Dr. Hold is I was the superintendent and principal of Sylvie's River Charter School, a very small virtual school here in the state of Oregon prior to my employment at Baker Charter. And with Sylvie's River Charter School, about a third of the students come from Harney County because it's based out of Burns. And many of the students live pretty far away from the local school, and so they choose the option to go with a virtual school, and given that Sylvie's is out of Harney County, they choose Sylvie's. Well, the Harney County School District, where I call Burns School District, started to refuse those students' ability to play sports or participate in activities. And so I worked, tried to work with the superintendent, tried to work with OSAA, and now we tried OSAA a second time, and now we're asking you to, you know, help all students to be able to participate in athletics and activities. Especially in Harney County, where it's not, say, like the Portland metro area, where a family may be able to move to a different district that allows their students to participate. Harney County, there's hundreds of miles between the next school district that would be allowed to play. And so there was an obvious inequitability in the decision to not allow students to play. So I, on behalf of the Sylvie's River Charter School, I ask for you to consider passing this bill.
Okay, thank you. First. Whoever wants to go first.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Members of the committee, I'm Ozzie Rose. I live here in Salem, and I had a fairly long history of being involved in the schools, and I'm representing the Oregon School Activity Association today. And it is true that their board has in the past set a rule that's just been described to you. We have participated in these discussions over the last week, and we are supportive of the bill with the amendment. And the issue is, from our perspective, the participation of the kids is really important. One of the things that's in the bill that we think is also important is that they'll participate in the school where they reside. One of OSA's responsibilities is try to help with the competitive nature of sports. So that is a very important part of it. People have mentioned the fee that they talked about, and which we are supportive of. The fee for one for participating for the year is up to 5% negotiable between the school district and the charter school. If it is a activity like band and choir that are in competition and they're required to be in, pay the be a credit earned course, then there could be up to another total of 10%, again, negotiable. And I think it's important that it's written that it's negotiable because it gives the local school people the chance to both say they're representing the total population and they're working to help make kids more involved. And so I think that's a key part of it. We are supporting the bill as amended. I've not seen the actual amendments. I'm just working from the notes we took when we, you know how that goes. But notwithstanding what you've heard about the past, we support the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Richard Donovan, on behalf of the Oregon School Boards Association, I too am going to speak to an amendment that the committee doesn't have, which is great. Head to a bill that I'm not sure which bill is going to move, which is also great, but it's one going to be one of these two bills. We're in strong support of this bill. To kind of piggyback on what my colleague from OSA said, the kind of baseline issue for the Oregon School Boards Association is kids, by every metric available, do better when they're given access to extracurricular activities. It's a very straightforward activity. Kids that participate in school more do better. And that's kind of the beginning of our baseline analysis. The amendments that have been described are the form of the bill that we're supporting. There was a large kind of informal work group that came together. They came up with those five plus five or five plus two and a half percentages of ADMR. That was a very practical number. It comes out to about what the cost of adding an additional student tends to be to an activity. We believe that this bill is a good bill, even though there are some locations where this is kind of some districts that would not otherwise support this bill. I know you have some submitted testimony that describes specific districts that have concern with this bill. We're aware of that and believe that while that is important to acknowledge, those tend to be kind of what was colloquially called adult problems, and we're interested in kid problems, and kids do better when they have access to sports and to activities and extracurriculars. Senator Robin, Senator Linthicum, just to make clear from your earlier comment, you talked about that 5% chargeback. I just wanted to circle back and make it clear that the requirements in the bill would be around any local requirements and would be universal to all students. That potential 5 to 10% exchange of ADMR would be from between charter and school district and would be basically the equivalent of a fee for services, not an additional cost, not any kind of penalization towards a charter school or charter student. With that said, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Questions? My question is, which bill do you want? Oh, yes.
I had one thing I forgot to say. The issue about negotiable, a large school district such as the Senators, with a handful of kids that might be doing this, they may not want to charge anything because it isn't worth the trouble of doing so.
That's true.
So that's why it was put in there as negotiable.
Okay. So do you have a preference as to which bill so you can help you with your amendments?
I think 536, I think, is what they're working off of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know, they are identical, so it just makes it, but it's nice to have it say 536 so that when they go to draft it.
He's already got it.
Okay. Okay. Okay, then we'll, yes.
Can I ask a question about the amendment that
yes.
we don't have? So one of the pieces of submitted testimony from Chuck Bennett, or is he coming up to talk to us?
He's not on the list.
I don't think he's here, yeah.
He had requested an amendment exempting state-sponsored charter schools as opposed to, has that issue been addressed?
Senator Robin, Senator Gelser, Chuck participated in the discussions, since he's called out. I do not know if the final language of that amendment, of the amendment will specifically exempt state-sponsored charter schools. As I understand the text of the amendment, in that particular district that he's referencing, that would kind of take care of itself. The amendment keeps in place OSAA's policy, and my colleague can speak to this, that differentiates between full and, what's the other, full and
associate
members? Thank you. Full and associate members. And if you participate as a full member, you must participate at that school, and some charter schools choose to do that. In that situation, that would kind of solve itself.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for that question. Any other questions for this group? Seeing none, thank you. So I want to say that we are going to wait for that amendment. We'll look it over. We will check it out with everybody to see if the amendment actually says what it's supposed to say, because that's often an important aspect. And at some point in the future, we will reschedule the bill for a work session. And at that time, I would really like to have people available to speak to it on. We'll just ask some of the people that help write the amendments to make sure that it does what everybody's talking about. So,
certainly.
Any other? Did you have a further comment?
I was just going to point out everybody kind of uses OSCA as that body.
Oh, okay.
That is a membership organization run by the members, which are school administrators and coaches, et cetera.
And they do have a very important mission, and that is to make it fair. when people participate around the state. And I believe that a lot of that the people who are on those boards take that seriously, and they do want to make sure that people don't get an advantage based on anything else other than kids living in my district, participating in my in their district, and so on and so forth. So I do appreciate that. So thank you. And it is all of us that is OSAA. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. So... there are probably a lot of shy people out there who didn't sign up and they didn't know if they wanted to. And now, after having sat through this, they're really excited and wish they had an opportunity to speak. So if there are any of those people sitting out there that have been just chomping at the bit and wondering, how can I get up there to speak, you have a moment right now to wander up front and sit down in one of those three places and, okay, I'm not seeing anybody jump at that opportunity. So... with that, we're going to close the public hearings on Senate Bill 208 and 536. I expect as the... Oh, come on up.
Wait, can I wait for my friend to come back? She wanted to do it too.
Did? Do you know how long it's going to take her to get back?
She took her sister into the bathroom with a bloody nose. So I...
Come on up.
Sorry.
No problem.
My name's Jennifer Blakely, and I have four children, and they're advanced for their age. So we decided last year, about mid-year, to pull them out and put them into a public online charter school, which addresses that educational need. And we're constantly looking at how are we going to address that high school need of sports and extracurricular. At this level, right now, most of the sports are outside of school, so it's not important. But if my kindergartner is actually doing fourth grade work, I don't want to put my 12-year-old into, or my 10-year-old or 12-year-old into high school, into a public school so that they can participate in sports like that. So we've been looking at how are we going to afford sports and keep those extracurriculars available to them. And if I was wealthy, they would be available. And I think that's what my children are kind of, we've talked with them a lot. How are we going to address this when you get into middle school and high school? And so we've already actually started saving pennies so that we can afford extracurriculars. Which means that right now, when they're in elementary school, they're missing out on some sports and stuff. So when they do get to high school level, when we have to pay for those sports so that they can participate. Sorry, I have multiple children. and I think that's kind of what, and I don't know all the, I haven't read through all of the legislation, and I think that's kind of what they're saying is, we've talked to them a lot about this, about the give and take. I won't put you into high school at 12 years old. I won't put you in high school if you're that young. You're not socially ready for it. But Benjamin Isaiah. I think that's kind of what they were wanting to be said from their perspective is that age gap disparity of education. If I put them into a public brick and mortar school, then they're going to be forced in with their birth date. Which is the best way, I think, at this moment in time to be put in a brick-and-mortar school. But when it comes to sports, their skills are more addressed on their abilities by JV versus varsity. So those kind of activities are, I think you understand where. Sorry, I'm not a speaker at all. But when I saw my kids, I was like, no, don't go up there. Did you want to add to that? Did you want to add to that? Or you just want to hold my hand?
No. I was going to say something.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Who would else like to speak? Go ahead and be sure and address by saying your name first, and then we'll get to you in a second. And you don't have to be too close. You're fine.
My name's Elizabeth, and I'm in...
What's your last name, Elizabeth?
Blakely.
Okay.
Okay. I'm in fifth grade, and I think that homeschool is a...
Sorry, online public charter school.
I don't know. is a good school because it can let you grow at your own pace, but I want to do soccer and basketball and swimming, but I can't because I'm in homeschool. I don't like that.
Okay, thank you.
this is working.
Yeah.
I think that...
What's your name?
My name is Ava, and I go to... Ava Johnson, and I go to Baker Charters, and I think that parents pay the taxes, so... And the kids should get to go to the school to do sports because the parents pay the taxes, so... They should be able to go to school or do the sports at the school, even though they don't go to the school. They should be able to do sports anyway because their parents pay the taxes. And I think it's not very fair that people who go to charter schools can't do sports because kids usually get along. Usually. So there shouldn't, like, I don't think there would be very big of a problem with homeschool or public charter schools and public school kids doing the same sports.
Okay, thank you. Who else would like to speak? Come on over to a microphone, sir, or just so they can bend one over to you.
They're shy.
Yeah. You don't have to be too close. You're fine. Just talk.
My name's Benjamin. Blakely is my last name. And
thank you for listening to us. If do you have any questions, can you say thank you, Mr. Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. It was nice to have you here. Is there anyone else? Okay. So any questions for this group?
I think Benjamin is adding something. They'll be here all day. I promise okay. you. They're really okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Did you want to say something? Go ahead.
I'm Genevieve and...
Last name?
My name's Genevieve, and my last name's Blakely. And I think that people in online public charter school should get to do sports because they couldn't, if they didn't get to do sports, they don't get to learn how to be tough.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much for being here.
For being so patient.
I'll open it up one more time. Is there somebody we've missed? Okay. Representative McLean, I'm shocked that we missed you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name's Mike McLean. I represent District 55, and I wanted to testify in favor of Senate Bill, I believe it's 208. And
well, go for 536.
536? Is that the one we're on? I dropped a similar bill in the House,
yep.
And I just wanted to say, you know, I represent some of my constituents go to schools in the Medford School District, which has been the subject of criticism for their position. I understand that they also send a letter saying that this is an unfunded mandate, and I disagree. Charter schools are public schools, and our children should be allowed to play sports in our public schools, period. So while we could talk about the complexities of the funding and ADM and all of that, bottom line is I have constituents who want to play sports. My daughter goes to a public charter school. So did her brother, my son. They have attended public charter schools, not because they were trying to abandon their local school or not because they didn't want to have community. I have not heard one good reason offered, but I had a son who went there because he needed a different learning environment. Now, my daughter went there because her brother went there. But at the end of the day, it is exceptionally, let me word it nicely. I don't understand how a highly paid school superintendent can make an assessment for a family as to the motives for sending their children to a charter school, and then say that somehow that decision was a rejection of their public local school, and therefore they are disqualified from participating because they're no longer a participant in that, quote, community. As a parent, that offends me. As a legislator, that offends me. As a citizen, that offends me. What message are we sending? And I understand that there is in Medford a view that charter schools are somehow a competition. And if they are, then so be it. Sounds to me like instead of criticizing charter schools and setting false barriers for our children, then maybe you need to up your game at your public school. That's the message I would say to the superintendent and others. We already have enough distinction going on in this world. The last thing we want to do is say to a kid who attends a charter school, we don't want you to play sports on our team. Now, maybe I allowed my parental instincts and my constituent stories to question the decision of Medford School District in some of the stuff that were happening in the state. And I don't mean to. But we need to say, all across, whether this bill comes from the House or it comes from the Senate, let's put an end to this. I think that best serves our state. I appreciate your patience with me. I had another committee, and I'm sorry to be late. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Senator McClain? Or Representative McClain?
Thank you, sir.
Any further comments? I want to say a couple comments. One, come on up if you want. And I'll do this as we're coming up. This is an important bill to me when Senator Thatcher came and talked to me, because I'm one of those people who believes that extracurricular activities make a difference for kids. Not all kids. There's a bunch of kids who don't want to participate, and that's fine. But there's others that really do, and becoming part of a group can be really helpful. And so it was clear to me that it's the kind of thing we need to do. And I want to personally thank OSBA and OSAA and all these other groups that got together with some of our charter school people and came to an agreement about ways in which this can work, because that hasn't always happened, and I really appreciate those organizations stepping forward today to talk about the way they got to where they are right now, and I look forward to the amendments to see what they're going to do. And with that, we'll have your comments.
Hi, my name is Eris Fass. Cooper was the one that spoke earlier. This is the first year that I actually took my kids out of public school in our community because they were not getting things that I believe that they needed. I've been able to watch my kids drastically have a major increase in the, what their ability to do. They're on IEPs, 504s. In our school district, and I don't know about other school districts, our kids are required to pay to do sports and choir and band and everything else. So my oldest, I had to pay $135 for tennis, $135 for football. I had to pay for football camp. And and they still have the ability to tell me, no, my children can't participate in these activities. They have robotics. They have STEM club. They have drama. And my kids, even though those are not funded by our school district, they may have started funding choir and band now due to budget cuts in the last 5 years. I'm still, even though I have to pay out of pocket, being told, hey, your kids can't go, can't do this. Because, and we've lived in the community since my oldest was in third grade, and he's now a senior. And so, you know, for us, it's huge to be able to still participate in that. We're still part of the community. We're still everything. And we still have to pay out of pocket. So it'd be really nice to have this pass. So even though we have, you know, we are able to say, yes, you guys can still play with your friends. You can still do this. You can still do that. So, yeah.
Thank you. Questions? And I will say that there are school districts, and there's many of them, and this bill does not change that, that do have participation fees for a lot of these activities. You're going to have to pay. And they're still going to have to pay those. I mean, that doesn't change that. This talks about having the opportunity to do it. You're going to have the same responsibilities as other parents do. And I agree, when you get into things like football, where I had a son, when you start paying for summer camps and all those other kinds of stuff, these are not inexpensive activities for kids. So I think that's something that is still part of what we're not talking about that. We're just talking about ability to try out. They may not make it. That's true of kids in the regular programs that don't make it either. So we will wait for the amendments. Is there any other things on that one? So I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 208 and 536. And I thank everybody's participation. Again, this bill will come up again in a week or two, depending after when we see the amendments, and we'll have a conversation about the amendments before we make a decision if it's going to move on. So that's where it's at right now. That's how this process works. And one of the exciting things is, if you missed it today, it all happens again. If it happens to get through the Senate, then it goes over to the House and it all begins over again. Does the same thing. And at the end of that, there's one more step. It stops by the governor's office to decide if they want to let it go. So in this building, so people, we talk about the need, if you start over here, they need 16 votes on the floor of the Senate. Well, first you need a majority of the votes here on this committee. Then you need 16 votes on the Senate floor. And then you need 31 votes on the House floor, and then you need one governor to sign it before it actually becomes a law. So hopefully you're learning and being a participant and part of this activity. So thank you. And with that, we're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill. I think I did. I closed the public hearing.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 209. And with that, we'll have a short explanation. And we'll have Marshall come on up.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, Senate Bill 209 allows for-profit entities that provide educational services for virtual charter schools to employ school staff if the employee is an administrator with no teaching responsibilities and the executive officer of the sponsor and the charter school governing body approve employment by the for-profit entity. This approval may be granted for all employees of the for-profit entity who are administrators with no teaching responsibilities based on the job categories of certain employees or on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair Roblin and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Marshall Koba, here this afternoon representing the Oregon Virtual Academy and our newest school, Insight School of Oregon Painted Hills, in support of Senate Bill 209. The Oregon Virtual Academy is a public virtual charter school managed by an independent board of directors, offering online curriculum to more than 2,450 students through our school in North Bend. Orva has been educating students since 2008 and has a very supportive and loyal student body and family organization. The Insight School is located in the Mitchell School District and also has an independent board of directors. The school is in its second year of a five-year agreement with Mitchell and currently has 350 students in grades 7 through 12. Senate Bill 209 simply removes a sunset provision to allow our employment practice for administrators to remain in place as it has for the past 9 years. Of course, all of our administrators hold Oregon School Administrator certification and live in Oregon. The bill does not change any current law, does not expand any current capabilities of our administrators, nor does it change the relationship with our sponsoring district. It simply removes the sunset and allows us to continue to employ administrators and educate students as we have the past 9 years. We believe this employment relationship has given our administrators the utmost professional flexibility to do their jobs. The access for the ORVA and Insight administrators to the professional staff of K-12 Incorporated, which is our corporate managing and curriculum company, leads to additional support in academic, professional development, special education, human resources, and other key school services in real-time settings. Creative and proven online educational practices from around the country can be adopted in North Bend and Mitchell in a very timely and efficient manner. And working with the K-12 regional and national administrative leadership facilitates best practices can be implemented promptly. While the administrative practices are available system-wide, they are individualized to each school. Senate Bill 209 only impacts administrators who do not have any teaching responsibilities and maintains the current law that both the executive officer of the sponsor and the public charter school governing body approve employment for the for-profit entity. Employment decisions can be done on a case-by-case basis and by job categories. We encourage the Senate Education Committee to support Senate Bill 209 and continue our employment practices from the inception of our schools. Thank you. Be happy to answer any questions.
So why is this important to your charter school? We haven't heard this as a requirement for the other virtual schools. So what has made a difference for your program to have this ability?
Senator Roblin, it is the standard practice of K-12 and the schools that we manage across the country. It has, and as I think I pointed out there, that the ability of our administrators to work with our administrators nationally and regionally in this innovative setting that we're in, and online learning, which continues to change and adapt on a regular basis. I think those best practices then can be implemented into the Oregon curriculum, into the Oregon schools that we operate as quickly and as promptly as possible.
And did I hear it correctly when you said it, the hiring of that administrator is a dual deal, has to be agreed to by both your organization and by the local school district?
That's correct. And those administrators that are employed by K-12 in our case, that's correct, that the local administrator and our board, our governing board, also need to agree to that. And it can be on a case-by-case basis.
Yes. Senator Gelser.
I feel like we've talked about this a lot in the past, and that there was a reason why we put this here. And if I'm recalling these conversations from several years ago, it was to ensure the arm's length from employees and administrators of the school from the for-profit organization, especially when there might be the sale of materials, curriculum, et cetera, so that your administrative team was wholly focused with no conflict of interest to the corporate interest of the for-profit school. How would this address that concern that I believe drove this to be in law in the first place?
Chair Roblin, Senator Gelser. There was some of that raised. I think that issue was raised. I'm not sure that that's the reason for that, the reason that the sunset was put in place. Our school opened in 2008 with a 5-year charter. That charter expired in 2013. In between 2008 and 2013, a bill was passed, and I believe it was in 2009, which changed the way that this relationship between for-profit entities that operate schools and the employees, the administrators, operates. I believe that was in 2009. We then had 5 years of experience because we were able to maintain that employment relationship until the end of our charter in 2013. We came forward with a bill. We had 5 years of experience. We hadn't had any problems, and we asked that continue, and a sunset was placed on it at that point. So here we are. The sunset expires June 30th of 2018, so it's actually 15, 16 months into the future until it expires. We of course are here just to have the certainty of moving forward, so we know as we're planning for next year and the year's future what our administrative process will be and employment practices. But as far as why we are here today, it was because of that sunset that was added on. Now we have 9 years of experience, and we really have had no issues that I'm aware of, and are asking for the sunset to be removed so we can continue on with the employment practice that we have.
So may I ask a follow-up
sure.
question? And Senator Haas, I don't know if you're recalling, because we were the ed chairs in the year that this happened, but didn't we do this because we were making the changes in law and ORVA K-12 had an issue with the administrator they had on board at the time, and you were going to have to remove the administrator, and the reason that it was a sunset was to take care of that particular situation, understanding that once that person moved on,
right.
we would then come into compliance with
right.
everybody else in the state. Am I making that
no,
up?
No, you have a really good memory, because I could actually tell that person, because it was a North Bend administrator
yes,
that I worked
yes,
with.
Yes, yes, yes.
And had known for a long time, and he had retired and decided to stay on here. But the dual enrollment would have been bad for his retirement, the whole works of the other kinds of stuff, and there was a lot of conversations about it. I trusted him a lot, actually, personally, so I came and testified on that bill, and that's why this got changed. He retired from that a few years ago, I'm trying to remember how many, and so a new person has come in, and the reason for it coming up here is I haven't seen any problems of the sort we worried about at the original, and so that's where I'm at with respect to.
So I guess the only concern that well, I
but you
actually
are exactly
have concerns.
Right.
I have concerns, and I think part of it was the premise, and I recall this from talking to the members of my committee at that time as the chair in terms of being able to move the bill, was that it had a sunset on it to address a specific situation to maintain the stability, but that future hires would then be recognizing that the sunset would occur, and therefore you wouldn't be in the situation again where you had someone employed that was not in compliance with the law, with the goal being to get there. So that's a little bit uncomfortable to me, because I feel like there were assurances made to the committee at that, certainly as the chair, to get the votes to move the bill. And I would need to talk with all of those individuals, just because I'm surprised that, given that that was why we did that, and the argument was for this individual person, and then the hiring would be done appropriately as to the rest of the law, that we would get to this place.
Chair Roblin, Senator Gelser, I believe that was one of the issues that was raised at the time, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, but not, from our perspective, it wasn't the only reason. The individual that was employed as the administrator at Oregon Virtual Academy at that time was in a unique situation, but I think our vision was always longer term. That I remember some conversations about we were 5 years in, the sunset would allow us to get 10 years in and have a track record. We're 10 years in, we have a track record, and we haven't had any problems that I'm aware of. And so, I mean, we could, you know, to change for the sake of change doesn't make sense to us. It's the proven employment methodology that we've used throughout the country, and it's working well. And so, well, I agree with you. That was a factor. I don't believe it was the only factor.
So, Mr.
Factor,
Chair,
yeah.
To me, that was a big factor.
Okay.
And so I would like the chair, and I recall something different in terms of why it was considered an emergency type of a measure. So I would like the chance to go back and review the tapes from the hearings and just the record in terms of what was stated.
Well, as you know, public hearing, we always give time between.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So there always has that opportunity. So absolutely, I agree with that.
Sure. One of the standard reasons for putting a sunset on something is to allow it to work for a time frame and then force us to go back and deal with it.
That's right.
And so I guess for me, it's. We put a sunset on this. I have yet to see any problems. So, you know, it's not maybe what was said way back when. It's what the performance has been during the time frame, from my perspective. So,
okay. Any other questions? Thank you. We have two more people who would like to speak
Thank
to
you,
this.
Sir.
Thank you. Lori Glazner and Kina Hormel. And they might have some of the same issues. We don't know. We'll find out.
Chair Chair Roblin and esteemed members of the Senate Committee, Education Committee. My name is Lori Glazner. I am a citizen of Lane County. Do you need my address?
We can do without it. Lane County is fine.
Okay. And I come today here to speak against Senate Bill 209 in hopes of maintaining local control of schools. Given that K-12 has had the opportunity to employ the head of school or the executive member of the school who is to report directly to the board, there have been times when there's a clear conflict of interest, and I, as a individual, really do believe that it's too gray and too muddy to continue to allow things to exist in a way that the charter board has no hiring or firing authority over the individual who is set forth to run the school, including manage vendor contracts, and the goals that they are held accountable to are outside of the school goals. They're corporate goals. And so with that concern, I just would like to put forth a recommendation that this die in committee and not go forward to the board. I respectfully submit that and appreciate the time to address this committee, and can answer any questions that you would like.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kina Hormel, and I live in Multnomah County. Thank you very much for allowing me to come today. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this and been part of the process. It's quite exciting. I've made some errors along the way, so thanks for the guidance. I have worked for Oregon Virtual for 6 years, and I'm not speaking on behalf of them, but in my opinion, it's been very disruptive for our school, Oregon Virtual Academy, to lose 4 administrators during the school year. They were all employees of K-12. WERVA has repeatedly operated as many as 6 months at a time without full leadership team for the past 3 years, causing a real burden for teachers to take on roles outside of their own scope. Since October, WERVA has been waiting for K-12 to appoint a permanent head of school to lead us. School boards often work with an officer or a superintendent that answers to the board, and currently at WERVA, the position for head of school and other administrators that are employed by K-12, that's the current state, is that that they're reporting to K-12, and that's who they're bound to serve, and it has affected our school. Decisions that impact our school are being made at the corporate level, and they should be made at the board level, and in my opinion has negatively affected our school, our climate, and our morale. This fall, our administrators attempted to increase our salaries to bring them to a more competitive rate. As you know, charter school teachers do not make as much as brick and mortar teachers, and the adjusted salary schedules were submitted to the board well in advance of their meeting. The board approved the salary schedules, and K-12 immediately sought to adjust them, and they were rescinded at the beginning of the school year. It resulted in static salaries for this school year for our teachers. Our teachers aren't part of a union, and we don't have a way of collective bargaining. So due to that fact, this year the school board created a subcommittee that we call the Teacher to Board Subcommittee, and I've been a part of that committee to address concerns of teachers and try to open the lines of communication with school leadership. However, it's been very difficult when the interim is an employee serving a corporate entity. I want WERVA to be a school Oregon can be proud of and get the support. And for these reasons, I'm asking that you would remove the sunset and amend it to read 2017. This would allow WERVA to fully transition our administrators to board employees for the next school year. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Well done, by the way.
Thank you.
And sorry you're that nervous. So questions?
No questions.
I actually really appreciate that both of you came, because I think that getting an understanding of from a perspective of people, both an employee and a person in the community, is really helpful. So with that, if there's no questions, is there anybody else? Yes, Sarah.
I just had a question.
Senator Gelser.
Do you have in the, I'm just trying to find the bill, and I'm not.
You'll have a hard time. This one is.
Removing the sunset is really odd. Here's how that actually gets struck out, and then it starts with ABC in the text, but you don't see this as struck, and that's the sunset that gets yanked.
Right. No, I understand that part. I'm looking for the bill number to be able to go back at the discussion that we had previously. So what that for the actual bill number, because the one I can find, we didn't send out of committee.
Right.
I do have the enrolled enacted House Bill 3093.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you both for being here. Anybody else that didn't sign up that would like to speak to Senate Bill 209? If not, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 209. And we will, at some point in the future, look at this and take into consideration the thoughts here and let you know if it moves forward or not. So with that, we're done with our business for the day. So thank you all members for being here, and thanks for the conversation. We are going to
thank you. I'm good.
Close our Senate Education Committee for today, March 7th. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Thanks, everybody, for being here.